Romans 1:14. Before I start, I just want to say what we always say, and we really do mean it. We're thankful, and we're appreciative of this church and all your hospitality and all your fellowship, all the good meals, all the missionaries feel this way. We all feel like you go out of your way to take care of us, and we do appreciate it. It's not gone unnoticed. And even if we didn't notice it, well, it still hadn't gone unnoticed. But we've noticed good food, good fellowship, a good spirit, a good attitude on all y'all's part. And Roland even mentioned to me last night, yesterday. When did Roland leave? He leave yesterday. Right? He told me, he says, "Hey, I forgot to say thanks, but you tell him for me." I said, "Okay, I will." He said, "Thanks too." I really love this church. I really do enjoy being with you. It's just a wonderful fellowship that we have here. And if you were born and raised in this church, you have no idea how lucky you've got it. This is a great place, and this is great fellowship that we've had. And I've really enjoyed it. I also have really enjoyed my coworkers. We have a good time. We usually get along. We have some good times, and these are good men. And the truth is, we're pretty picky about each other, and we're not going to let each other get away with stuff, you know. We're not going to let each other be lazy. We're going to put the B on people, you know. You start coming up with excuses. Well, we're going to give it to you, and we don't let these Mexican preachers do that either. Talking about you, brother. Yeah. We don't let them get away with anything, you know. You make a commitment to preach, you better be there. Yeah. And they know it, and they're doing it. So I have a lot of respect for everybody I work with, every missionary out of this church, mainly the ones that I know. And I'll tell you something, you investing into Corey, sending him out, well, if Corey's half the man his father is, you know, he's worth the investment. And the truth is, it's an investment. You're making a decision about the future. He might save a few souls, you know, he might actually do something for God. Well, I think it's a valuable investment. I see you, you young people pairing up into novios. What's that called in English? Novios? Boyfriends? Sweethearts? Okay. You guys, couples, there you go, talking about getting married. Every time I see you guys, you know, holding hands or whatever, I think, you know, I know what he sees in that girl, but I haven't got a clue what she sees in him. That's the way I feel. I'm sorry. I don't mean anything bad about it. I don't have a clue what you girls see in us. But there is an exception. If he's a spiritual man, there's an exception. I understand then. I can't imagine why a girl would want to marry an unspiritual man. That's beyond me. I don't get it. I don't care if he looks like the rebel without a cause, got a tattoo, you know, got four studs in his ear. Jenny had a friend used to come visit knocking on the front door. It was just a friend she knew, but he'd come, he'd show up on a motorcycle and he had tattoos and he'd have studs in all his ears. And I'd go out and say, "Well, what do you want?" You know? Now Lena's got him coming knocking on the door. Says, "I want to talk to Lena." Why? I had this one kid, and I walked down and said, "How old are you?" "I'm sorry, Lena. I pick on all my kids from the pulpit. I'm sorry about that, and they all give me trouble over it, but that's all right. That's my basic reservoir of examples, so that's all I've got." This kid, she looked and said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 18. I said, "How old is Lena?" "Well, she's 13. So you don't see any problem with that?" He said, "No, we're just friends." I said, "Well, I see a problem with that." You know, I don't understand why you girls want some ugly, unspiritual guy. I can't get it. I don't get it. I don't even understand when it's a good-looking guy. I don't get it. But I understand when it's a spiritual man. That I understand. Why in the world would you want somebody that's not spiritual? You go for the spiritual man. Amen. All right, I put that plug in there for you, Corey. We'll see if it works.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a clue, Corey. You don't pick on us if we get to preach after you. Okay? He'll learn. By the next mission conference he preaches in, he'll know what's going on. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. It's been mentioned this week, and I'm going to mention it again. He says, I am debtor. Four things I want to bring out. First is the fact of debt. You are a debtor. You know, one of the problems with this generation, and maybe it was with all generations, I really don't know. I didn't live in those other generations. I only live in this one. There is a problem with this generation in the fact that they don't want to recognize their debt, that they have a debt they owe and nobody owes them. If you're in debt, well, then you owe someone else. They don't owe you. You know how many people refuse to recognize their debt? How about to God? Are we not debtors to God? What do you have that God didn't give you, that you got on your own? I know I've used the illustration before, but there's a movie called Shenandoah, and this guy doesn't want to get into the Civil War, whatever it is, and he is basically an atheist, I suppose. I don't know what else he was. I didn't pay attention too much to his religious beliefs, but I know that he showed up after a hard day's work out on the farm and sat down with all of his children and all of his grandchildren around this table, and they expected him to say grace. And so what did he say? He said, Lord, we got up early in the morning. We went out. We sweated. We bought the seed. We planted the seed. We hoed it. We watered it. We did all the work. And I don't know why we're thanking you, but I'm doing it anyway because that's what's expected. Basically, that was his prayer. I don't know why we're thanking you. Well, who invented the seed that he planted? I mean, who developed it when it was just in his imagination? Everything we have is a gift. Amen. How about the air you breathe? Amen. Try to survive 10 minutes without that. Just say, God, I don't owe you nothing. Start holding your breath. You are a debtor. At least recognize your debt to God. Do you know how many people have it backwards? They think God is a debtor to them. They think God owes me. You don't know how many people actually have that attitude. God owes me, so that they can complain about whatever God has given them. And most of the complaints we have are silly, sorry, nothing complaints. If you're nothing but a scab or a stump, if that's all you are, you still owe God. God doesn't owe you. I know it's hard for you to see it. I know that it's a difficult thing to change your outlook from your standpoint, from your viewpoint, to God's viewpoint. But you really ought to try that. You ought to try thinking from God's point of view. Start paying attention to the way God sees you. God says, what more could have I done to my vineyard? What more could have I done for them? I had a good idea, and I brought it to fruition, and everything I did was good. But who's thankful? Who's grateful? Who is giving me the glory? Almost nobody in this entire world gives God the glory. They don't give God glory. They don't give thanks. It says neither were they thankful. They became vain. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's just a little bit farther in this same chapter. There is a grievous sin in this world thinking that they are not debtors. Well, okay, it's obvious to me that all of us, everybody on earth, is a debtor to God. You say, well, how do I know who God is? Well, go find him. Even if you have to go finding him, just feeling along. Bible says he's findable. So you don't know who he is? Go find him. You say, no, I just don't, there's no possible way I'm going to ever figure out who God is and what he's like. Boy, you're selling yourself short. You were created in his image. He made it so you would know. And you know what he says? He says, if any man will do his will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether it's of God or not, if he will. In other words, if you're sincere and you're looking for God, well, God will show up. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So in other words, there's no excuse. Everybody on earth owes it to God to go looking for him.
That's right.
To go find out. What do you want from me, God? If you just showed up on this earth and you've got nothing else that you know, you are just basically one ignorant fella, and you, that's all you know is that you do exist, then you ought to know also that everything you have was a gift. You did not build it. You did not invent it. You did not give it to yourself. So you owe somebody. And just on the basis of that knowledge, you ought to go looking for who you owe. All right. You're a debtor to God. You're a debtor to your parents. This is the fact. Sorry. You owe your parents. You know how many children have the opposite attitude? My parents owe me. They sit around feeling sorry for themselves because their parents aren't perfect. Ain't no parents perfect. Parents aren't perfect. So go ahead and feel sorry for yourself if you want, but stop and think about it from somebody else's point of view. You are a debtor to your parents. You're wearing their clothes, driving their car, sleeping under the roof, eating their food, and then you have the gall to go out with your friends and criticize your parents. My old man is this way. My old man is that way. He does this. He did that. He didn't do me right. You owe your parents. You are debtors to your parents. It is unacceptable for you to think that you are owed by them. The only acceptable, reasonable response from you is, I owe my parents. And if you could just learn that, so many things would be solved in your life. I mean, all those clouds that are giving you trouble, they just melt away. Just recognize that what you have is a gift of God, and your parents have given you every other thing, basically, that you have. You are a debtor. That's the fact. You're a debtor to those in your history. You know why you study history? Because we have a debt. We owe. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't agree exactly on my politics, but I think we owe some of our great men in our past. I believe we owe George Washington. I think he deserves a day in honor. Yeah, I do. I think Abraham Lincoln deserves a day. I believe we owe these people. We owe them something. They did something for us. I believe we owe Gutenberg. I believe we owe Martin Luther. These people did something for us, and we have a debt toward them. We are debtors. Fact. Now, nobody wants to say, I owe, but we all owe. We'd rather everybody owe us, and we go around trying to take credit for something somebody else did. And you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You didn't invent anything. You're just a late comer up trying to catch up and then pretend it was your idea. But it's not true. Just about everything you have, you've thought, everything you've been taught. You don't have anything you haven't received. And if you have had a novel idea, somebody had it before you. That's the fact. You're a debtor to a preacher. Somebody preached the gospel to you. It wasn't easy. Just how easy is it for you right now to go tell your friends about Jesus Christ? It's not easy. Wasn't easy for them either. But they did it. Somebody carried the gospel. Somebody probably got on a ship, took them several months to cross the Atlantic and come here and preach the gospel to our parents, to our grandparents. Somehow, some way, somebody invested, somebody went to some trouble to bring us. Why are you a debtor to the lost? Okay, we're debtors to God. We understand that, right? We do understand that, right? We're debtors to God. We owe God. You owe Him your Sundays. You owe Him His meetings. You owe Him your offerings. You owe Him your time. You owe Him your prayer. You owe Him your praise. You owe Him worship. You owe God. But yeah, even reluctantly, we can say, yes, we owe God everything we have. We owe our parents. Oh, that hurts. We owe our parents. But that's not what he says here. He says, I am debtor to those Greeks and to those barbarians and to those wise and to those unwise. You know what he's saying? You owe those people that are lost. You owe those Mexicans. You owe those Polish. You owe those Russians. You owe those Chinese that hate your guts. You owe them. Does that make sense? What do I owe them? See, because I read this and I think, oh, wait a minute, Lord. How did Paul owe these people? And so, like you all ought to do, and I have tried to do for a while, try to put myself in God's shoes. Figure out where God is coming from. If he says we owe them, why? So we look at the big picture. Why do I owe the lost? What debt do I have toward some Mexican brother that lives in Morelia, some Mexican fella that lives in Morelia that doesn't know me from Adam? What debt do I have to him? Well, I thought of a few things. First of all, we're debtors because of sin. Now, let me explain it to you. Sin. we do them wrong. Have you never lied to somebody? You're going to tell me you have never lied to a lost person? I've lied. I've deceived. I've sold something for more money than it was worth. Sure, just a little bit of fraud. I'm sorry, I'm that way. If I'm the only one in this room, then I feel really, really ashamed. But I am that way. I'm willing to lie. I'm willing to deceive. I'm willing to hide the truth. I'm willing to defraud. I'm willing to covet. I'm willing to cut somebody off if it gets me ahead in the line. You know, it bothers me when they do it to me. I got to talking to Debbie the other day. I said, you know, every single thing I get upset about in traffic, I do. Everything. I try to find some way in which I am better than they are, and I can't find it. I catch myself doing something that I just got mad about somebody else doing to me. And I do it. So what does that make me? A debtor. I owe. You know, when I was a kid, my idea of fun wasn't, I never smoked pot. I never drank alcohol. I didn't even cuss. Hardly. Much. Really, I wasn't interested in those things. But I stole just for the thrill. I didn't need it. Just me and a few friends. We'd set up a way we could shoplift, and we thought that was really something. Got away with it. Never got caught. Shoplifted. That's horrible. That's a crime. It is a crime. You go to jail for it. Then you ought to go to jail for it. It's a crime. Even if you're doing it just for kicks. You know, one day I got right with God, and I wanted to get right with all those people I robbed. But I don't know who they are. I don't know their name. A few of them I knew, and I went and paid them back. Man, I went there and I wrote a check for some. Said, I'm sorry, I want to write you a check. No, I'm sorry, we don't accept checks for that. Said, well, you're going to have to accept it because I'm going to pay you one way or the other. I went to HEB and I said, I owe you money. Said, well, why? Well, because I robbed you. Well, when? Long time ago, but I robbed you. I want to pay you back 4 times the amount I robbed. He said, well, listen, just forget it. I said, well, I'm sorry, you're not the one that can authorize me to forget it. I got to pay you. He said, well, I have no way of receiving that check. There's nothing for it. And I said, well, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go through the line. I'll get that many dollars worth of groceries, and then I will purchase them, and then I'm just going to leave the basket right there. He said, oh, never mind. Just give me the check. But what about all those people that I stole from that I can't remember who they are? You know what I'm left? A debtor. I've stolen from people. I've lied to people. I've defrauded people. Every single day of my life, I sin against lost people. That makes me a debtor to lost people. I owe them to do them good. I owe them to tell them the truth. I owe them to tell them the gospel. I owe lost people. That's pretty simple. I thought of another way, and that's hindrance. Have you ever been a hindrance to the gospel? Some of you have actually openly opposed the gospel in the past. You've actually gone out and said, no, it's not true. Some of you saw somebody preaching downtown and mocked him, laughed at him, turned other people away from the faith. Sure you have. Some of you. Now, I don't remember ever doing it like that. I always believed the gospel as long as I can remember. Believed it. Was in favor of it. Didn't live it. But I was in favor of it. I don't ever remember mocking a preacher. But have I never hindered the gospel by my testimony since then? Have I never destroyed the chance for somebody else to believe the gospel by saying something stupid, by sinning? You know, I have to say that I wasn't brave. When I got right with God, I had so many friends that knew me that I could not possibly tell I was a Christian. I could not go to them and say, I was a hypocrite all these years. I was a Christian and I lived wrong. I just didn't have the courage to do that. So I just walked away. I just didn't go with them anymore. Didn't call them up. They'd call me up and I'd say, no, I'm not interested. And that was the end. I don't know where they are now. They're gone. What about them? Did I not hinder the gospel with them? Did I not do some damage to people? Is there blood on my hands? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. So what does that make me? A debtor. You're going to tell me you're not a debtor? You never hindered the gospel? You never opposed it? You never did something stupid that caused somebody to make light of the gospel? To give it less credence? Less faith? Sure you have. I'll bet you every single one of you have, and someday God's going to point it out to you. You know what that makes you now? A debtor to tell the gospel to the lost. If you messed it up in somebody else's case, well, go and make it right by telling the gospel to these people. You are a debtor to the lost because of having discredited it, of having hindered it. Another thing I thought was, you're in the way. You ever heard the statement, push, pull, or get out of the way? That's a good statement. Either push, pull, or get out of the way, for crying out loud. Get out of the way! You are in the way and you can't get out of the way. You're here. You're walking right along down the same streets that everybody else is walking. You cannot avoid contact. You're there. And if you're in the way, you have a responsibility. If you're on a ship that's sinking, you got a responsibility. You got something to do. Don't tell me, well, it's none of my business. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. Yeah, it is your problem. It is your problem. You're on the ship. You say, well, I'm saved. You're still on the ship. Get a bucket. Do something. You have a responsibility just because you're on the same planet. Is that not good enough? Yeah, that's all you need. You want to know if you're a debtor or not? You are stuck in the same boat, on the same planet, in the same jail, in the same burning house. You have a job to do. Nobody should get a free ride. Nobody. You hear that, kids? Nobody should get a check from the government. You should be sending checks to the government. And if you don't pay taxes, why do you vote? Only one amen out of all that. Man, that's amazing. Let me tell you something. This is simple fact. You don't deserve a free ride. Free rides are called mooches. Why don't you stand out on the street corner and say, we'll work for food, and not mean it. That's all you are. You gonna sit around and receive a check from the government for nothing? You gonna sit around and live off whatever your wife can make? You ought to be ashamed. Everybody has an obligation just because they exist. Because you're breathing my air and the fellow next door to your air. You're here. You're a fish in the same muddy pond. You have got to do your part. So you're a debtor. You got to work. You got to do your chores. You got to make your own bed and you got to wash your own dishes and wash your own clothes. Just because you were raised and every single morning, somehow there were clothes folded and put in your drawer, doesn't mean that you don't have a responsibility now. Amen. You have a responsibility now, and in the spiritual realm, that responsibility is the gospel. Amen. It's that simple. You exist. You're in the way. You have a job to do. Another reason, I thought, is dependence. You depend upon lost people. You know, there is a survival group out there that just don't want to depend on nobody. They've got batteries hooked up to solar cells and well digging equipment that works off of electric motors, and they do everything so they don't depend upon the power grid. They're afraid of Y2K or Y3K. They're afraid of something. And you know, maybe they're smart. Maybe we shouldn't be so dependent on everything that exists. It's dependent on the supermarket, you know. But let me tell you something. None of them are truly independent. I mean, where are they getting these batteries anyway? What do? They dig their own mines and pull out the lead and then, you know, process the lead and then put it in the plates. And then what do? Go find some sulfuric acid holes or something? I don't know. Come up with a battery? They can't even make a solar panel? Of course not. We all depend on somebody else. And these people we depend on are lost. I mean, you get sick, you go to a doctor. Unless you call the Christian Yellow Pages and get a doctor out of there, you're going to get a lost doctor. And you're going to depend upon him. And you know he's going to do his best. He's going to try to help you. He's a lost man, and he's going to try to help you. For a good price, but he's going to try to help you. He might just soak you till you got nothing left. There's some like that, sure. They say 90% of doctors give the rest a bad name. Works better with lawyers, doesn't it? Let me tell you something. You depend upon lost people. I don't care if it's the doctor, the policeman. What are you going to call up, please, and say, only send me a saved policeman, please? Because I don't want to owe these lost people anything. But no, you owe lost people. You sure do. You owe lost policemen. You owe lost governors. You owe lost soldiers that are out there that are fighting for your freedom. You owe. You have a debt to lost people. You're going to tell me that when you need your flat tire fixed, you do it yourself? You get out there with a big old hammer and you beat that thing off of the rim and you pull it off? You know, I've tried to be independent. I've tried to learn how to do all this stuff. It's a lot of work. Grandpa Kincaid used to say, anything anybody else can do, you can do also. Might take you longer, but you can also do it. Well, that's true. Maybe that's true. But you can't do everything. Anything, yes, but not everything. You depend upon lost people.
And if you depend upon them, they depend upon you. What do you have to offer them? You have the gospel. They depend upon you for the gospel. Who else do they depend upon for the gospel? They going to get it off the radio? They going to get it off television? Maybe CNN? Well, they might. But they depend upon you for the gospel. If you have the gospel, you owe them the gospel because you're a debtor to them. Because you have depended on them. Another thing I thought about is that we have received from their ancestors. You're going to tell me Martin Luther didn't have any children that reached all the way down here in southern Texas? Sure he did. You know how we are interrelated with just about everybody? We are so interrelated. Just about everybody in the United States can trace their lineage back to the Mayflower. Because it just crisscrosses in there, and after a while, you're back there. You can pay somebody, and they'll do it. They'll show you exactly how you're related and get back to you came across from the Mayflower. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of people that did us a whole lot of good, including George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Gutenberg and Luther and all those people, and they've got grandkids scattered around everywhere. They're all over here. These people that you just don't know, they just kind of look ugly to you because you haven't gotten used to their face. These people that you see on the street, they're somebody's grandchildren. And they're somebody that's done something good for you. You're a debtor. Now, you can't pay everybody back directly, but you can help their kids. Isn't that what David did with Jonathan's son? He said, no, I'm going to take care of that child because of Jonathan. It's for somebody else's sake. You owe these lost people because their ancestors did something good for you. Not just them, but they, long time ago, their ancestors helped your ancestors, so you owe them. Plain and simple. There's another thing, and that's that you're related. Like I said, we're all kind of interrelated, but you do have a lot of family, don't you? Are you telling me you don't owe your family? You don't owe your cousins and your third cousins and your 12th cousins? Sure you owe them. I'm not telling you all to start up a genealogy book and go find out all your relatives so we can baptize you in their name. That's a different religion. What I'm telling you is you do have a relationship with people. There is a relationship, and if you have a relationship, well, you owe those people. You're intertwined. You have a debt to your family. If you don't preach to your cousins, who will? But you're not just related to them by blood. You are by blood. But there's all kinds of ways. You're related to them by country, aren't you? I mean, if you live in America, don't you owe something to America? Sure you do. You have a debt to your country. Those borders don't mean nothing. They give you freedom. They give you strength. They give you protection. And you know who's standing on that wall to give you that protection? Somebody out of your country that's putting their life on the line so that you can be back here behind that wall and do your business. So you have a debt to all your countrymen. You'd be surprised how some people hate their own countrymen. We have a problem in Mexico. There's a lot of people just can't stand Mexico, and they can't stand Mexicans. I don't know why that is, but there is a problem there. But you owe your country. And if you're not willing to preach to your own country, well, who is? Who's going to do it? We have a debt. You say, well, no, I'm not sure about that. I'm a Republican. Okay, preach to Republicans. Well, I'm a Democrat. Well, preach to Democrats. I don't care. I don't care what you are. If you're related, you say, well, I'm part of the NRA, National Rifle Association. Okay, let's preach to them. Amen. They all need preaching to. They all need the gospel. You are related to them somehow. You say, well, I'm a member of the PTA. Okay, go preach to them. Because you're related to them, you have a debt. That's the object. Now I want to talk to you about the problem. You know what the problem is? Hard hearts. Strong traditions. Different language. Different background. Opposition. Maybe something's illegal. There's all kinds of problems. You're going to go up to somebody and say, hey, I owe you the gospel. Sit still for a while so I can pay you. They don't want to hear. They'd say, look, you know, we're even. I forgive the debt. Just go your way. Leave me alone. Usually they won't even do that. Just slam the door in your face, you know. They say, we don't want you here. Leave me alone, they'll say. Because they don't want to hear the gospel. You have a debt to them that you cannot just straight out pay. Isn't that amazing? You have a debt. You recognize your debt. You're ready to pay your debt. But it's not that simple. There is a problem. We can't just go take care of it. The gospel has a lot of opposition. There are a lot of people who hate the gospel. There are a lot of countries that have it illegal to say the gospel. Just to say it. Or to print it. Or to just speak it. Or to just anything. There are many countries where it's illegal. Just go to their embassies and try to get in. Just say, listen, I want to go to communist China. I want to preach the gospel out on the streets because I have a debt and I love the Chinese people. Just go tell them that and see if they let you in. If they do, we'll pray for you. Of course we would. Sure. You're going to do a good job over there. What I'm saying is we have a problem. We have a problem with strong traditions that are disagreeing with the gospel. And they are taking people to hell. We have a debt and we don't know how to pay it. We have a debt that we cannot pay. At least not easily. Not right away. But now, isn't that what debt is? I mean, if you have $1 million and you owe somebody $1,000, come on now, what's the problem? Just pay the guy. Then you have $999,000 and you're not a debtor. The only reason we call ourselves a debtor is because it's a debt we cannot pay easily. That's what debt means. If I could pay it, I wouldn't be in debt. The reason why I'm in debt is because I can't pay it right now. It's going to take me a long time. I pay little installments. A little here and a little there. I do what I can because I'm aiming toward paying my debt. Well, now we have a debt that we cannot pay quickly. We have a debt that we cannot just pay in one day. Boy, wouldn't that be great? The Lord said, preach the gospel to every creature. Is there a way to do that in one day? Well, maybe there is. You know, maybe there is for angels or, I don't know, come up with it. That'd be great. Let's get our debt taken care of. But up to now, we don't know how to do that. And whenever we do try to do that, something gets in the way. It becomes an obstacle. Somebody else stands up and says, no, that's not true. They're liars. They really want to steal you. They want to steal from you. Or they want to take away something that you've got. Somebody starts opposing. Somebody starts causing problems. We don't know how to pay this debt properly. So we have to play by the rules. We've got to do things God's way. We have a debt to pay, but there is a problem. And that problem is all of these hindrances to the gospel, these hard hearts, these strong traditions. So how do we pay these installments? That is, how do we make our payments? How do we take care of our debt? That's where we come to the solution. He says it right there. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. There's the word. Ready. I'm ready. You know what the biggest problem with debtors is? They're not ready. Mom's trying to get things together and she says, Stephen? Where's Stephen? I don't know where Stephen is. Lena? Where's Lena? I don't know where Lena is. Bill, could you do this? Well, I'm here, you know. Where's Stephen? And then I'm going around looking for him. Where's Stephen? Where's Lena? Oh, they went down to the Deportiva. They're having fun. Oh, man, now I got to do it. Why? Because I was there. You ever tried to collect a debt from somebody you can't find? They're just gone. They just disappeared. You can't get anything from them. You can't even tell them, hey, I need you. You can't do anything. They're not available. You see, when you say, I'm ready, you're saying, I'm available. First of all, you got to be available. If we want to translate that into something that we can understand real close to home, you got to be in church to hear the call. You got to be here. You got to be listening to the preaching. You got to be listening to the singing. You got to be here. You got to be available. You can't always be off somewhere else. Sometimes you got to be available to take care of your debt. If somebody can, if you know why they do not loan money to somebody who just recently moved into that house? Because they're liable to just recently move out of that house, and then they can't find them. And then their debt is just, you know, lost. They'll never get their payments. They want to see you've lived there for 6 months. They say, no, if you haven't lived there 6 months, we aren't going to loan you that money. But if you've lived there 6 months, they say, yeah, I think we probably can find you there if you've been there 6 months. You know how good a credit record you'd have if you've been there 20 years? You'd have a good credit record. They'd say, well, you've been there 20 years. Now, we trust you because you don't just hop around everywhere. The first thing you need to do is get established and be there. You want to take care of this debt that you have, and it is a real debt, and God says you have this debt, and logic says you have this debt. You want to pay off this debt? Be there. Be available. He says, I'm ready. You know, ready means something else too. Ready means willing. Because if you can't get a man with a ready mind, you're not going to get him to pay the debt. Some people just plain aren't willing to do it. They're not willing. They're looking for, you know, you can always tell when somebody's coming up with an excuse. You know, well, I just don't have the money this week. Well, you know, I had to buy tires for my car. Or I had this problem, this other problem. And you finally say, you know, I'm never going to get this money. He owes me the money. He's never going to pay me. Why? He's just not willing. The real problem is it's in his heart. He's not willing. You need to be willing. Where are the willing minds? Where are those saying, I have this debt. I owe people the gospel. It's a debt that I have and I am ready to pay. I'm willing to pay. What should I do? That is a willing mind. That's what ready means. You know what ready also means? That means prepared. Oh, he says, I pay you, but I left my wallet at the house. Or mom says, Stephen, we forgot to put out the trash. But I don't got my shoes on, Ma. So what happens? Mom has to put out the trash. Why? Because somebody wasn't ready. Somebody wasn't prepared. Didn't have their shoes on. Or you could be like dad and say, get out there anyway. You know? But it's snowing. I don't care. You should have your shoes on. Oh, it don't snow in San Antonio, does it? Okay. Bad example then. What I'm trying to say is, if you want to pay off this debt that you have toward these lost people, and you do have this debt, you have to be prepared. You have to read your Bible. You have to go to the meetings. You've got to learn your doctrines. You've got to know what's expected of you. You've got to be prepared. I don't know. You know, Mike Jackson used to tell us about a guy to come up to get a job. And he'd say, okay, yeah, I can hire you. Come on. He said, well, I'll come back tomorrow when I have my tools. No, I just don't even bother. Just go get a job with somebody else once you start tomorrow. You want to work? Come with your tools. Show up with your Bible. Be prepared. That's why they have these classes. When it's time for you to pay your debt, are you going to be ready? Have you gone to the classes? Have you learned what you can learn? Have you studied? Ready means prepared. But there's one more thing ready means. Ready means anxious. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm anxious to go. There's a sense of urgency about it. Did you know that you have a debt? And that this debt, in order to pay, in order to make your installment, to make your payment, you gotta be ready. And I mean ready and anxious to go. Raring. I guess that's Texese or Texanese or something. Raring to go. Hold me back if you can. That's what it means to be ready. Do we have the attitude of urgency that we need to be ready to do it? Do you have the idea that we don't have tomorrow? People are dying today. Is this your attitude? Or are you the kind of person that says, you know, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll take care of that next week. Give me a break today, but I'll take care of it tomorrow. Tomorrow is not the day. Today is the day. Now is the time. I realize that this is taking analogy perhaps too far. What I'm trying to say is that there is a real debt that we really do have. And this real debt that we have can only be paid in installments that require you to be ready, willing, prepared, available, there, with your Bible in your hand, everything you need, and anxious to do it. This is how we pay our debt. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you prepared to pay this debt? That's what this conference is about. That is why we're having this conference. There is a place in Mexico. It's not really the Bajio, even though the Bajio is the very center of this place. It is a section of about seven states. And every one of those seven states has less than 2% evangelical witness there. That means by the census, only 2% consider themselves evangelical Christians. By far, the vast majority of those evangelical Christians are not saved and do not understand the gospel. Included in those 2% are Seventh-day Adventists, Luz del Mundo. It was a horrible, horrible Christ-denying cult. Very, very similar to our doctrines in a lot of other things, but deny the deity of Christ, deny salvation by grace. That happens to be the largest temple in Mexico, belongs to the Luz del Mundo. Huge. You see it from miles away there in Guadalajara. Huge thing. The vast majority of these that call themselves evangelicals are not saved. They're apostolics. They believe in salvation by baptism or salvation by good works. There is this spot. Now then, we can also say there's a spot over there in Poland. There's a spot that says it's what 0.15% consider themselves evangelical. And then we have to go through the same nonsense of how many of those evangelicals have a clue what the gospel is. We're debtors. We owe these people. These people will go all of their lives. They'll wake up in the morning, they'll go to work, they'll come home after work, or they'll go down the block and get drunk. Or they come home and they do their business, they go to sleep, they wake up in the morning and they go down, they'll go all of their lives till they're old, they quit working, their children are taking care of them, and they finally die. And never once hear the gospel. Never once hear anybody say, this is how you can get saved. This is how you can be right with God. This is what the Bible really says. Some of them actually go to mass. Some of them actually sit there and listen to a priest. But this priest doesn't tell them the gospel. He tells them, we need money to build this wing on this church. He tells them, if you're sick, you can pray to this little virgin here because she's pretty good with sick folk. Something needs to be done. We have a debt toward people who cannot hear unless someone like us takes it upon us to pay this debt. Nobody else will do it. There's no other possibility. We have to pay this debt. Are you ready? Are you anxious? Do you see the urgency? Somebody, just like I described, is going to die today. Never heard the gospel. All they know is that when they die, the only hope they've got is that God will have mercy on them through the intercession of some saint. And you know, most of them realize they haven't lived a life worthy of any intercession, so they die without hope. And they cry just like you cry when someone you love dies. They have the same sorrow, the same brokenness. The only difference is they have no hope. How are they going to be saved? How can you live with yourself if knowing you know that you have a debt toward these people if you don't do your part to get the gospel to them? That's what we've been preaching about this entire week. We have a debt to these people, and we have to pay it by being ready to preach the gospel to them, and that includes being anxious right now to get the gospel to them as soon as possible. Amen.